Hey, hockey fans, happy Wednesday. This is Locked On NHL, and today we're going to play a little bit of fake GM here on Locked On NHL Western Conference Wednesdays.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everyone, this is Locked On NHL, talking all about hockey here on your favorite podcast or your favorite YouTube show. I sure hope so. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings. And as always, here on Wednesdays on Locked On NHL, I am joined by Jess Belmosto, host of Locked On Calgary Flames, as we talk all about, today we're talking about more mediocre hockey. I feel like the good teams are... So you can only get so much mileage out of good teams. It's Oh, Edmonton. Connor McDavid did some more stuff. Cool.
Well, his girlfriend, fiance,
lady person,
romantic partner. she uploaded a house tour today.
Oh no.
And people are really upset. Not upset. They're in shambles over this house.
And wasn't it it's all monochrome basically?
Yeah. And I think the worst part is that she's an interior designer. But anyways.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Every pot or whatever.
They're rich. Whatever. Must be nice.
Yeah. Must be nice. If I was rich, my house would probably be more things would match. And
exactly.
Less things would be falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's a whole topic for a future show. Whenever we're in the off season, we're what's happening? We can just be Real Housewives of the NHL or something.
Right.
And talk and about sure. all their terrible decorating.
Yeah, and we can talk about their jean jackets and their postseason
mm-hmm.
attire mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. judge them, even though their jackets probably cost more than our grocery bills.
Oh gosh, yeah, no, that's terrible. Yeah, so coming at you over the summer, Locked On Western Conference, what the heck with these exactly. is up with these houses.
but we do have some Western Conference what the heck going on today.
We do. Which one do you want to start with?
I think Vancouver.
All right, let's do it. Let's head to Canada, where the Vancouver Canucks are in seventh place in the Pacific Division. They are, let me look at this, 6-11.
They're 6-11-2.
They're not good. They've won 3 of their last 10 games. It's been rough, and it's basically to the point where there's essentially a full-fledged fan revolt that is getting ready to happen.
Yeah, and last week, their owner had a press conference or whatever and was like, yeah, things are bad. We're going to retool. But don't worry. Your general manager is not going anywhere.
Oh, no.
And it was but he's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad because the fans, they're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And, as a fellow Pacific Division team, it's hard for me to feel bad for a team being bad, but those fans, they are not happy.
Yeah.
They're getting creative with ways to sneak in fire Jim Benning signs
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because apparently that's not allowed.
I mean.
And in venues, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never tried to bring a sign. So, they fold them up and have a different message.
Oh, yeah.
And well, it's creative.
Paper.
And more effort than I would ever put into attending a hockey game.
Yeah, no thank you. Yeah, so they're basically trying to figure out who do we trade people?
Yeah,
do we ride this out? And I feel Vancouver, they've been so no one knows what they are. They were okay for a little while, season before. They made it into the bubble or something, I think. I think they were in the bubble.
Yeah, and they swept the Blues.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because it was really funny that they did.
Yeah. Because Binnington, hugged mm-hmm. his helmet after like they pulled him in the last game.
That's right.
That's right. So fun.
And then here we are. They're back in the basement of the division, and it's very disappointing. And this is a team that people thought, okay, maybe we'll compete. Like, you're not going to be great, but you'll be competitive. Their stars are underperforming. The guys who they just thought were going to take the next step aren't doing it. And they just right now, like right before we started recording, they just lost to the Blackhawks, who are also bad. They lost 1-0.
That's hard to do.
Wait, yeah. Well, it was actually a couple of days ago. It wasn't today. The site made me think that it was like breaking news.
Oh, but no. Still. Blackhawks are playing the Flames right now.
Oh, that's right. You know that. That's your team. But it's just like if you're a Vancouver fan, like your ownership has already told you, oh no, the GM's safe, the guy who got you into this mess in the first place. And people thought like, okay, Vancouver just got rid of all those really bad contracts for like Jay Beagle and Louis Erickson and one other guy that they sent to Arizona. And everyone's like, oh, great. Like,
right. Like, it's our time. Like, we're good. Mm-hmm. But then they took on the Connor Garland mm-hmm. and OEL contract. And the only thing that comes to mind when I think of that is OEL at like the first week of camp or like the first few days of camp, and he is just struggling mm-hmm. and I feel like I haven't seen his name mm-hmm. at all, and yeah. I don't know if it's like, is he injured, is he, I mean obviously he's playing, but
yeah, he's just he has always been kind of known as like an offensive defenseman. He has 4 points in 19 games. Yeah, and like part of it, I'm sure, is like, you know, he's getting older, he's on a bad team, but 4 points. They're led in scoring by JT Miller, who there was buzz about, oh, is he going to be traded because he was missing from practice, but then it was just a maintenance day. Then next is Connor Garland, who I think is like as close to untouchable as you're going to get on that roster. Like, he's actually good, but he's also probably like, man, really, Vancouver? Right. Although he did escape Arizona, so
he went from horrible to bad.
Yeah, to and like worse weather.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like I feel for Canucks fans because they don't deserve this.
Right. They just signed up to what? Like, I don't know. They just sat down one day, probably with their parents or like a relative, close friend, and they were like, "Oh, hockey. Mm-hmm. That's the team I'm rooting for, so-and-so's rooting for, so I'm going to root for them." And mm-hmm. now they're here.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's just – I'm going to be so fascinated to see what happens. Like, the total faith in this GM is bizarre to me. Well, it's not bizarre to me because this is just the Canucks. This is what they've been. But
it feels like he has such, like, a long leash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the past 2 years, even like before this season even started, it was like, okay, mm-hmm. when's he going? Like, people bought a banner or an airplane. I'm sorry, but I don't even hate like an ex that much. I'd fly it over their house and be like, you cheating scumbag or something. Like, no, mm-hmm. I like a general manager of a hockey team. I don't know. I feel like we've seen it with, I mean, Peter Chiarelli got, he's somehow back in a front office doing decision-making things, and God bless, I think he's with the Blues.
Oh, that's right. I think.
So,
yeah.
Good luck. But yeah. I feel like any other organization would have fired him a reasonably long time ago.
Yeah,
like not after the first mistake or the mm-hmm. second mistake, but definitely this past offseason.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of their issues, especially last season with the like Canadian division, mm-hmm. get kind of ignored by the hot mess that Edmonton usually is. And like, I mean, I feel like their front office has been kind of quiet since they ousted Chiarelli, sort of. Yeah,
they haven't done anything stupid,
right? But it's like, no one has time to pay attention to Vancouver because they're like, oh, look at all the other stupid things these other teams have done.
Right.
And it's like, ah, Canucks.
And then when it does get brought up, it's just, I feel like some fans, not Vancouver fans, but outsiders are like, okay, like they're just overreacting. It's not mm-hmm. that bad. But when you look at it, it's not good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be spending money.
No. The team has like, I feel like there was a, so you can find it on Twitter. There was like a picture of poor Elias Pettersson in like a press conference, and he just looked so defeated. Like, I just wanted to give him like, he's a hockey player, so probably doesn't like candy bars, so like some kale. I don't know.
Right.
Like, what? He just looked so like dead. And I feel like they were the same one around with like Quinn Hughes. Of just
Quinn Hughes like, always looks miserable, and I live for it. Like, I feel bad that he looks like that and is that upset, but like,
right?
I get it, Quinn. I do. We're all struggling 20-something year old. It's okay. Just go request a trade east so you can be with your brothers.
Yeah, yeah. The New Jersey Hugheses.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what their New Jerseys should have been. Just like,
huge. Man, marketing idea missed out. Come on, New Jersey, get with it.
Free idea.
Right here. We've got one other team we wanted to talk about that is also in a similar kind of state of WTF. But before we get to that, let's talk snacks.
All right. So we did just talk about Elias Pettersson maybe not liking candy bars, but maybe he likes a healthy version of a candy bar, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious tasting protein bar that disguises all that healthy nutrients with dipped in 100% chocolate, and they are low in calories, low in carbs, high in fiber, high in protein to get you through your days. I know that I will probably be having one on Thanksgiving to give me the fuel to get through, you know, just a family outing, you know? You never know how those are going to go. So head on over to built.com today and place your order, and you can either get a variety pack, or if you have a designated favorite flavor, or Sarah, do you have a recommendation?
You know, lately I have been actually kind of digging the coconut brownie chunk thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The brownie chunk part, like,
it's really good.
Really good.
Really good. So I would listen to Sarah and get the coconut brownie chunk, and you can get that for 15% off with promo code LOCKED15. So head on over to built.com today, place your order, and of course use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of that order.
Vancouver needs snacks. Quinn Hughes needs snacks. I think Seattle needs snacks too, because they actually, thanks to some shuffling around, are last in the Pacific Division. They are actually worse than Vancouver. They are 5-12-1, and they are looking like you would have expected an expansion team to look.
You mean that Vegas was just an anomaly?
Crazy, right?
Oh my goodness.
Vegas, by the way, has moved back up to fourth in the Pacific. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, guys.
For now.
Thought you were bad.
Right. But Seattle, okay. I knew that they weren't doing too well, but when we started outlining the show, I pulled up the standings and I did not realize that they have lost 13 out of 18 mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. And that's not good for those of you at home keeping track. It was very bad. And, oh, man, their goals against are 68.
Oh, almost.
Almost nice.
And
but that's – God, that's so bad.
And, like, the wild thing is that when you look at them in terms of goals scored, they scored 52 goals, which puts them kind of in the middle of the pack. It's like,
yeah. They're,
you know, right around Vegas, ahead of the Kings, who have forgotten how to score again. But, like, their average, if you look at goals scored, which kind of, you know, raises the question, is it the goaltending? Is that the issue? Is it the defense? Did they, you know, Philip Grubauer, who, you know, Vezina finalist, his looks terrible. I dropped him from my fantasy team after a week because I was like, buddy, you're dragging my scores down.
And I thought going into this that the big question mark would be the forwards. I did not think that it would be the back end of things. Yeah. So I don't know. What are they going to do? Do you mix in another goaltender, or are you just going to kind of ride this out and suffer?
And I feel like it's suffer. That is the real truth of it. And I feel like they're in a tough place because both of their goalies have big long deals. Philip Grubauer's deal goes through 26-27. And Chris Driedger's deal has 3 years on it. So he's an unrestricted free agent after the 23-24 season. So, yeah, I think that looking at goaltending would be a place you want to start, but you're going to have to move one of them. Yeah. Who's going to take them because they're bad? And then also the teams that are like, that have legitimate good goaltenders, they're not going to want to give them up.
No, they're, you know, not everyone is a Jim Benning making decisions. And, you know, I do feel bad for everybody that was kind of like, oh, a new hockey team. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is kind of what you get. I think that with just how recent the Vegas expansion was, people were obviously going to draw comparisons. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've talked about it before, but Vegas got, you know, they kind of fleeced everyone in the expansion draft. And general managers, they don't forget. They don't forget that stuff. So, you know, they kind of held back when, you know, the Kraken came calling and whatnot. So we'll have to just kind of keep that in mind because they're not a bad team on paper. And that this is the stupid thing about hockey that drives me absolutely insane is that you can have a fantastic roster. You know, Jordan Eberle, fantastic. Love him. Mm-hmm. And he's been scoring a lot lately. And, you know, like, I'm currently blanking on everyone else on their team, but they have a good team on paper, and then it is not translating well to the ice, and you have to start thinking, I don't know, are they going to make some moves at the deadline, or how are they going to get creative with their off season, even though they're about a quarter of the way through the season? Like, you can fire your coach because apparently everybody's in Philly is saying, I told you so.
Right. Yeah.
And they were saying that like five games into the season.
Right. I mean, they were saying it before the season even started of, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I had the same thought too of like, really him? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they have enough pieces that they should at least be in the mix as a wild card team. Like, you know, I don't think that they're not going to do what Vegas did and soar to the top, but you know, Jaden Schwartz has 16 points. You know, he's looked really good. Jordan Eberle is having this great career resurgence essentially there. I feel like every time I see a Kraken game, he's doing something cool.
It's just him.
Yeah. It's literally just him. Yeah. And then you have guys who are kind of underperforming. Like Jonas Donskoy was always, you know, a pretty solid score for when he was with the Sharks. And then when he was with the Avalanche was good depth scoring. And he's got no goals so far. And then again, in addition to the fact that, like, what's up with the goaltending? You know, Driedger got hurt at the beginning of the season, so he missed some time. And, you know, obviously they don't have, like, a farm system yet.
Right,
they can't be like, let's call up our AHL guy. I don't know that they have one.
Isn't it Joey Decord?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where he wound up. They do have an AHL guy. Yeah. Yeah,
I think that they have in quotes in like an AHL system.
Yeah.
but I don't know where they're playing because I don't think that there is an
AHL. I think, are they in, they're with Charlotte in.
Oh, Carolina. That's right. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. They're doing that.
Yeah. The like split thing. But it's just, it's so, it's another fan base that I feel bad for, which, you know, I would have never ever said that I feel bad for Vegas's fan base about anything, but
no.
Seattle was just so like earnestly excited about this team, and they're still going out and supporting them. You know, watch any Kraken game, it's packed. I'm excited to go there eventually someday, but
yeah.
You know, this is a team that was so excited for finally getting professional hockey back in Seattle after a bajillion years, and then they have a team that just can't crawl out of this hole. So I think that, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens or like when we get to the trade deadline, assuming they don't like pull out of this, of do they stand pat? Do they try to move pieces out? Who do they even have that like Jordan Eberle? I feel like we can already like ignite the like, does Eberle go back to Edmonton talks? I feel like they come up every year.
Ugh.
But yeah.
Like I'm looking at the November schedule for the Kraken. They lost to the Sabres. Or no, sorry, they beat the Sabres. Lost to the Coyotes. Lost to the Golden Knights. They got crushed by the Ducks. The Blackhawks. The Avalanche demolished them. Like, they're playing good teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, with the exception of the Coyotes in there.
Yeah.
But we're in the Blackhawks. But, I mean, you know, like, it's a hockey schedule. But
right.
They're just not playing good hockey. Like, I'm trying to come up with a good excuse, but they're really
right, they're just on. Yeah. And it's, you know, like, I don't know how you pull out of this. Like,
yeah. I don't, like, what do you do? Because, I mean, it's, like you said, it's not like they have all these things to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of one of those situations where I think that they're going to have to ride it out and suck it up. And that's kind of an unfortunate start to your franchise, but we've all been there, whether it be the start or somewhere along the way. So
yeah,
welcome. Buckle up.
Welcome to the NHL.
Yeah,
like good luck Seattle. Well, if you want to place some bets on what you think is going to happen next with the Seattle Kraken, well, we have the place that you should go. This is, of course, Thanksgiving, and sure, we can talk about hockey all day long here. That's what we do. But Thanksgiving, if you're a TV person, also means football. Oh. I certainly have lots of years of sitting around watching my dad and my grandpa watch football and me kind of going like, so can I go get my book from the car?
Yep.
But if you're into football, well, nothing goes better with football than turkey and also betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season long, and you can get more props, odds, and lines than ever before by going to their website. It is your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. So you can head over to the new updated website on your phone or on your computer, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. And obviously, if you're here, you're a hockey fan. Well, you can find hockey on BetOnline. They've also got pro and college hoops, boxing, fighting, casino games, pretty much anything you can think of, they've got it there. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. It is almost American Thanksgiving. Canadians, congrats. You did it a while ago or whatever. Good for you. But today is, or tomorrow, technically, is our day here. And so I figured we'd spend the close of today's show just kind of musing on what we're thankful for this year in hockey, with our teams, with the NHL, with my cat that's staring at me. So what are you thankful for?
You know, I'm going to say I'm thankful for fans being back in the arenas. I think that I mean, it's great for me because I can actually do things now. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think that it helps with the atmosphere and gets the players going and gets them excited. And I mean, I miss the sound of like the puck and like mm-hmm. them swearing. And I mean, sometimes you do catch a hot mic here and there, but really grateful to see people, you know, traveling to mm-hmm. games and or just, you know, going to their home team and just yeah. being really, really happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always very exciting. I feel like the couple of games that I've been to, like there's always, you know, one game I was at in LA, there was a lady behind me from Calgary and just like made friends with the people next to her. And like, just the aww. Way that it sounds like it's the cheesiest thing in the world. And like, I hate that I'm going to say this, but the way it actually like brings people together,
yeah.
You know, your friends, you know, I have a friend who we have a ticket package for our local team and we, you know, make yeah. sure we get to see each other at least once a month, once or twice a month, because we go to a hockey game, yell at grown men on the ice.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It really is. I yeah. think, no, but you're right, though. It does bring people together. I mean, without the Bruins, I wouldn't have my boyfriend and, you know, mm-hmm. shouts to Bradley. I don't know if you listened to this. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. But, you know, I think that it has a great way of bringing people together and just, you know, whether it be in, like, a friendship type of way, mm-hmm. a business type of way, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. I think it's okay. The sport's all right.
Right. It's the friends you make along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I will say that, you know, being part of Locked On and getting to know all the other hosts here, especially when I used to do the Monday show for Locked mm-hmm. On NHL, where we talk to hosts from across the network and getting to know basically everyone who has a show here. It's such a great group of people who are all like passionate about hockey and about making the sport and being a fan a better thing and mm-hmm. finding cool ways to communicate about their teams to people, even when your team is bad. I mean, if you're looking for, you know, how do you get past a bad team, go check out Locked On Kraken, go check out Locked On Coyotes. And, you know, those are people who are doing tremendous jobs, like getting people to be invested in these teams that aren't giving you a whole lot back on ice.
Exactly. But,
you know, it's such a great, fun group of people to work with. And I certainly am glad that I get to chat with people every day and share hot food takes, I guess, in the chat, because that's, yeah. that's what we do here. But, you know, yeah, definitely thankful for that. And, you know, from a hockey perspective, you know, thankful that we're getting to see so much young talent.
Yeah. I mean,
saying that I'm thankful for Connor McDavid is like maybe not quite true, because he always just torches my team. But, you know, we are seeing so many young guys with personalities too, mm-hmm. which is not the normal hockey thing. But you're seeing guys be more outspoken. You're seeing guys have more personality, even if when in the way that they dress, which I feel like is a whole thing of like, how dare you? But this is a sport that has always struggled to get people invested in it. Like, mm-hmm. unless you're already a hockey fan, you don't get into it. Yeah. And like having these young guys they have personalities. They're very good on the ice. They are fun. They're on social media guys are making TikToks. Like,
I was just going to say, I think it's so unfortunate that this happened, but I think it was Brandon Gallagher. After the mm-hmm. Stanley Cup final, he's eating like his uh-huh. breakfast sandwich. And he's like, I just lost the Stanley Cup final and my house got robbed, but it's great.
Yeah. And he was kind of one of the first guys to like noticeably get on there. It's like him yeah. and like yeah. Connor Carrick used TikTok to like do dances with his wife.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. like Chuck's sister dragged them on during mm-hmm. the right. early days of quarantine. Like, it's fun to see them like actually mm-hmm. engage and not just post like they're branded
right
like Tyler Sagan's yeah. cologne ads and things
which
like
I mean I'm thankful for that because it makes me laugh.
Oh yeah, like it's so funny. And I love how he refers to his dogs as his children. I think that mm-hmm. you know it's
same
it's always fun. Yes, and we're thankful for your meows during the show. But I just think this last year of, you know, the shortened season and figuring out, like, navigating a new world of hockey on top of hosting a daily show and a weekly show is, it's been a challenge, but it's been exciting to try new things. And I'm grateful to work with a network that, like, allows us to be ourselves and isn't pigeonholing us in a way.
Yeah. I mean, one of my first episodes, I had a whole segment on Alec Martinez and, you know, his face. So, you know,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I also talked about hockey. So, you know, I can do two things at once.
Exactly. It's fine.
So, yeah, it's great. Everything's great. And of course, we have to close by saying we're thankful for you guys.
Yes. Always thankful.
It is always great to hear feedback from you guys on what, you know, what you're liking, what you want to hear. And of course, whenever we make calls to say, please send us pictures of your pets,
you're always there.
You send us pictures of your pets. So this show wouldn't be anywhere without you guys who are listening to it and downloading the show and telling your friends all about it and whatever. So we are very thankful for you, listener, right now, you listening to this show of Locked On NHL.